Divinity would let me touch his feet. As I knelt there weeping, the Savior said to me, "Woman, thou art forgiven, thy faith hath saved thee." I kissed his feet and did not cease. With oil I anointed them. Inside I felt his peace, I felt his love within my soul. To serve him all my life became my goal. He has sacrificed for each of us so we could know the way. And he is our Redeemer, just as he was on that day. I kissed his feet and did not cease. With oil I anointed them. Inside I felt his peace, I felt his love within my soul. To serve him all my life became my goal. What a sacrifice he's made for us, if we could only see. And he is our Redeemer, just as he was on that tree. I kissed his feet.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. As soon as you find your place, if you'd stand there together with me. 1 Peter 1, verse 21. Read a couple verses to get started and get a little bit of a review, and then we're going to get into chapter 2 this morning. Verse 21 says, "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Let's pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thankful for your mercy, your grace. Lord, you love us with an unmatchable love. Really, it's really so far beyond our understanding. And yet, Lord, even this morning we might get a glimpse of that in your desire for us to love like you love. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now this morning. Lord, help me to bring this message, your scripture, your word to this people in a way that would be clear. And Lord, give us I pray that you'd give us a desire to be like you. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to talk about this morning's message. I have the titles backwards, and that was my fault. I gave them to Brother Bob backwards. So this morning is a new appetite. You ever get a new appetite? You ever tasted something like that was so good that you just like think about it? Right? You know, you like maybe go to a restaurant or you try some food for the first time and you're like at home, you know, a couple days later you're thinking, "Man, we got to go back there again." And you just, that was for me when we tried fish dip. Doesn't that sound gross? That's what it sounded like, the fish dip. I've never heard of fish dip till we got to Titusville. And somebody said, "Oh, you got to go try this restaurant, Pier 220, try their fish dip." I'm like, fish and dip together just don't sound. And they said, "I know it sounds like, but just go try it." And so my wife and I said, "Okay, let's go try something." You know, we went out and said, "Let's go try this." I'm telling you, folks, I think about that. Matter of fact, talking about it is really going to hurt me. And so you're thinking, that is so weird. And we've tried it other places, but there, I'm just a plug for them. I'm just not, they're not paying me for this, but I'm telling you, just sometimes things will do that to us. A new appetite, something will happen. Maybe something will happen. Maybe you go on a diet and you start trying to like healthy food. And all of a sudden, for a while, you're like, at first, you're like, healthy food, man, I got to eat this green stuff, you know. And then after a while, you're like, man, I like this, you know, you add some, you start kind of changing your appetite. Same thing, you eat a bunch of, Snicker bars. You start eating a little bit of Hershey. We live right up there, like an hour from Hershey, Pennsylvania. And chocolate at Hershey, Pennsylvania is made right there. It is better than what, because by the time we get it, it's been sitting around. And you get it like right after it's been made, I'm telling you, it's a life-changing experience. And, man, I tell you, I got in the thing, man. I was just wanting chocolate too much. And, you know, so you have to go on it. You have to start working on a new diet, a new appetite. So some things happen in our life that does this. I want to talk about this a little bit. Let me get into this a little bit. It says here in verse 21, who by Him do believe in God? Listen, we is the who, right? By Him, Jesus Christ, we do believe in God's Word. We believe not because we're so smart but by Jesus Christ we believe in God's Word. Our hope and our faith are in Him, not in us, it's in Him. And so through the Spirit of God, we've obeyed the truth of God, purifying our souls. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, I've never been saved. Maybe that's you. You're here this morning and say, I've never been saved. I know about God. I believe in God. I believe Jesus. I believe all this stuff, but I've never really, I don't know that I've ever really put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've never, in the word the Bible uses, in the phrase the Bible uses, Peter uses as well, this phrase, he calls it to be born again. Born again means a new life. It's a quickening. A new life is there. And so, if you've never been born again, then this doesn't apply to you yet. You see that the second word I used? Yet. Yet means because it can be. And so, by the way, we were all here, but Peter is talking to people that have trusted, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about what they've done. What they've done and trying to help to bring some of this to light. So through the Spirit of God, he's saying that we're going to identify with this. We have obeyed the truth of the Word of God. And it says here that obeying the truth purifies the soul, that believing the Word of God. So this leads to, and this is weird. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to say a little bit here. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about it again. It's kind of weird, but it says this leads to, purifies the soul, leads to an unfeigned love of the brethren. That's the result of the new life in Christ. So there becomes some, that unfeigned, and we're going to talk about more about this, but it talks about a pure love. It's not fake, not unfeigned, it's not false. Somehow, when we've believed and we've been saved, and there becomes this, the natural outpour is a love for the brethren. Why do we love God's people? If you look around this room, there's people from all different walks of life. I mean, people just, I mean, matter of fact, if we'd seen, without, if it wasn't for Christ, we'd see somewhere, if we'd see each other in public, we wouldn't be necessarily people to be friends. Because I don't like anybody. No, not that. Because we're different. Different walks of life. It's like, what are we having? Sometimes what we have in common is very little. I mean, none of y'all are Dallas Cowboy fans. Right, and I'm still friends with you, and that pains me to have to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. To be fair, right there, it's been a long time, but something happens in us that becomes this. So the outflow of this is this unfeigned love of the brethren. But it's not a perfect. But it's not perfect. So there's a need for us to see to this love of the brethren. Loving one another with a pure heart, and he says, fervently. Amazingly here, the first thing mentioned after believing and hoping in God is unity of the brethren. Church unity. When we talk about church is a little different. We have And I don't want to spend too much time, but I just want to get our head. There's the family of God. When you're born again, when you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says we are adopted into God's family. You're born again. You're born into the family of God. And so from that moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says before that, you're of your father, the devil. That's what it says. Because we walk like him and we talk like him. And we live like him and we reject God like him. And so when we get saved, we're born again. We're in the family of God. But then there's another entity that the Bible talks about. And that's the church. And the church isn't a family. The church is a body. Talks about it a little bit. You say, well, we're a family. And we use that term. And that's fine. We could call it. We're a church family. That's okay to say that. But scripturally, there's two different things. The church family is a body. The church is a body that has many members. It talks about the ears, the eyes, these different things. And we have different members. And we all work together. We're the body. We're the activity of Christ. So here's the thing. Church unity in the body must be sought out fervently with purity is what Peter's saying here. So, how's that going to be done? How are we going to fervently seek out that unity among the brethren here? So that's the next instruction he's going to deal with. So number one is this, wherefore. Wherefore. Really, the word wherefore really means because of that. Because of that, the things right before it. So wherefore, because our purpose is loving the brother with an unfeigned love or sincerity, or a sincere love. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and some guile, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Man, that's a lot of all. It's a lot of all. There's two words that you really should be cautious with using. Always, right? You always do this. No, don't always. Or you never do this. Don't use those words because nobody always is a jerk, right? And nobody is never kind, right? So don't use those words. Stay away from those words. But here, it's all. Get rid of some of these things. So we're going to find five things here that we are to put aside to accomplish this goal of having an unfeigned love of the brother. Five things he's going to do. Number one is this. Lay aside malice. Lay aside malice. Malice is this. It's, so some of these words we have in our Bible, and I talk about this from time to time, and I'm just, and you're like, Pastor, you've already talked about this, but there's other folks come, and I want to just, we have a Bible that was written in Koine Greek. Right? It was penned in Koine Greek. Koine Greek, Koine is really the word, a common Greek. It's a common language at that time. It wasn't the high-level Greek. It was a common language that the common man, the street level, talked about. Matter of fact, and I've used this to talk about with Singula. We're talking about the Singula Bible. Thursday night at camp, 11 o'clock at night, I went and I had a video conference with our computational linguistic in California, and with missionaries, the Surreal missionaries in Sri Lanka, and our Sri Lankan translator. I did that call for me, and I was in the middle, it was 11 o'clock at night, so I put the kids to bed and went to the kids, Hayden. The other ones, they were still probably going. But so then I went and did that video call, and everyone is excited. You know what we're doing? We're going to translate the Bible in the Singular language. In the common, if we could use this, the Koine Singula, right? It was the common Singula. So our Bible does anybody know Greek here? Anybody? None of us do, right? We'd be, here's your Greek Bible. We're like, well, I don't know what to do with that. So when this was translated, we have it translated. We say it's the 1611. It's from 1611. The language was there. Some of it's been cleaned up. The number, the lettering, the script is a little bit different. But sometimes these words are from a different period. And at that period, they wrote the common language at that time. And so sometimes these words are, I don't, use malice a lot in my daily speaking, right? So you know what I have to do? Look it up. Use a dictionary. And you know what? I think it's an okay thing to use a dictionary. Amen? So lay aside malice. Malice is this. Malice is to delight in the harm of others. Sounds nice. You ever seen anybody that's kind of had this grit? They clench their jaw. They kind of like to see others hurt. Yeah, some people are like that. They're just in their mind. They like to see others hurt. Sometimes they insult people. When I was a teenager, I was a terrible kid. I've told you that many times. But I don't. Every time I tell you a little bit more about the time, you're like, man, good thing you got saved. Yeah. I delighted in insulting girls until they cried. They're like, why did you do that? What was wrong with you? I don't know. I was a sinner, okay? And I was a kid, and they would insult me and humiliate me by making one comment. And so I would make 10 until they would never, ever do that again. And I was kind of like, yeah. Now, and you think, that's malice. You're like, why would you do that? Why would you? But it didn't have to be me doing it. Somebody else could do it. Can I tell you right here, folks, that desiring harm to anyone, even to our worst enemy. Wait. Okay. There's some really bad people, and we kind of like if their plane crashed. You know what I'm saying? You're like, no, I wouldn't. Shouldn't say that. No, I wouldn't. But you kind of do. You're like, if there's a plane crash with, like, some communist dictator, you're like, oh, no. Right? You kind of would, like, almost like that. And so we're thinking, no. No, it's okay to wish harm on bad people. No, he said, we're going to have to lay, because here's the thing, we're going to have to lay aside all malice because I can't pick and choose. I want really bad stuff to happen to Evan, but not to John. No, I don't. I'm just using this. And so, you know what happens? If I want bad stuff to happen to some people, it's going to bleed over to others. And so, he says this, you're going to have to get rid of all of it. I can't even want bad things to happen to bad people? That's right. What a ripoff. So, he says this, put off. It's as if it was a garment that's honest. He said, I'm going to take that. What I want you to do is I want you to put that off. Matter of fact, don't hang it somewhere good. Get rid of it. Put it off. And put off of the old man, the thinking about it. So what we're doing is we're putting that off. And this is what the word means. The put off, it means take it off like it's a jacket. Take it off like it's a piece of clothing. Put it off. Put off thinking about it. Because see, the New Testament isn't just action. It's attitude. It's the way we think. He said, put off thinking about it, talking about it, wishing for it, or even hoping that others would be harmed. Can I tell you, sometimes it's hard when bad things happen to bad people not to be a little bit, oh, that's too bad. You know what I'm saying? Okay, y'all are more purified than me. Is that, we struggle with that. He said, it is to put off, really this, our delight in the harm of others. Here's the thing, folks. The worst human among us, the worst human among us is still created in the image of God and has the hope of eternal life. So the scripture says, lay aside all malice, all of it, every bit of it, because if we hold on to any, we're going to hold on to it. It's going to stay with us. So the second thing he says this, lay aside all guile. Another word I don't use weekly. Why are you guiling me? You know what I'm saying? How do you even use that in a sentence other than the scripture? Guile is this. Guile is fraud. It's deceit. But it is in particular, though. So, and I want to, malice is really something that really starts in the heart, and it really primarily is in the heart, how we wish and think and hope for other people and bad things, to harm for other people. Guile is particularly to speak. Okay? It's speaking, but it's really this. Sometimes it's this thing of speaking what we really do not believe in our heart about the person that we're speaking to. You ever done this? What do you think about this jacket? Right? Oh, it's really nice. And you kind of, little eye roll. I hate when people ask me. My family is always my family. What do you think about this? So I just do, it's fine, nice. Am I guiling? I don't know, maybe. Now they're all thinking about, does Daddy? No, they already know. They already know. Now it's kind of a joke. What do you think, Daddy? It's like they know I don't. But guile is the result of malice. It's when we want, watch this, it's when we want someone to be harmed, we will go about defrauding them with our speech. It's almost like our way of getting involved in harm coming to them. See, not only do I want harm to come to you, but I'm going to, you know, hey, do I look all right? Yeah, you look fine. Right? And so they go out there and they become an idiot. And somebody says, and they come, why don't you tell me, oh, I thought you were fine. No, I wanted them to be embarrassed. I wanted them to come harmed. Now, that's kind of a low thing, you know, but I'm saying that kind of comes. If we keep any of that, see, guile is to deceive people and for the purpose of what this thing as. See, this is a progressive thing. What he's talking about, it's progressive. Listen, which leads us to, it's our delight in others' trouble causes us to deceive them so they get in more trouble. So, which number three leads us to the third thing, which leads us to the next thing that we're to lay aside is hypocrisy. Now we're a little more familiar with that. We talked about that a little bit more, but speaking deception, wanting deception leads to speaking deception, which leads to portraying deception. Hypocrisy is to play it out. A hypocrite is an actor, somebody that plays a part, right? It's to pretend to be something that we are not. So once we want harm to go to others, then we speak deception to others, and then we play a part that we're their friend. By the way, I want you to keep in mind the context of here. It's the brethren. I had a brother one time. Something had happened at church, and this deal, there was a conversation, a meeting or something, and it just kind of went weird, and the fellow comes up to me. He said, Brother, we love you. He came up and gave me a hug. He said, Brother, we love you. I think in one hand there was a dagger. I didn't feel it right away. It was a spiritual dagger, you know. It really wasn't. You know, I'm like, okay. And I thought, okay, maybe I read that wrong. I like to read wrong. I like to read bad stuff wrong. I like to be wrong on that I've seen something bad. So I thought, okay, maybe everything's fine. The next day, our church blew up, and the church that I was, it blew up and it split in half. You know what was happening? There was this malice. They wanted harm to come because they didn't like the way it was going. Then there was guile. There was deception. And then there's hypocrisy, pretending everything's okay. You know, sometimes it's okay, folks, that everything's not always okay. It's okay because we're human. And so, you know, when something's not okay, the best thing to do is come and say, hey, I want to let you, Miss Liz, I want to let you know something's not okay, right? And then he's like, oh, I didn't know that. And we can have a relationship to talk about, right? But we're like, it's fine. And inside, you've seen people in churches do this all the time. Churches can be some of the most hypocritical places on earth. People like come, well, I don't like to go to church because it's full of a bunch of hypocrites. Right? You ever heard people say that? I've heard that said a lot. You know what I say when they say that? I agree. You're right. And so I think the best thing is just to avoid God because of other people, right? You know, Peter's trying to tell these folks. He said, listen, we're going to have to put these things off. Which takes us to the fourth thing, envy. Envy. We end up envying the ones we're playing a hypocrite to. So we play this part because we don't like what they're doing and we want the harm to come. We're saying things, we're deceiving them, we're playing this part, but then we're kind of envying them because you know who's upset about all that thing? Me. They don't even know. They're just living their best life. And I'm over here like, I'm trying to get them. And they're not, you know, they're like spiritual minded. They're just having a good time in the Lord. And I'm over here mad that they're still enjoying life. Because I want them to be as miserable as I am. And I'm trying to play this part and thing, you know, and then we'll make these little innuendos, right? That's kind of some of that some of that guile will say some of this thing, the deception will kind of do these little things, hypocrite will kind of add this. But then we start getting envy of them because they're living that thing, and we're kind of in envy. Once we envy what others have, the end of verse 1, it says, and all evil speaking. Listen, I'm telling you, once we envy the life that they have, the happiness that they have, or even whatever it is that they have, it turns to us to evil speaking. And finally, all of those things blow up. You know, I start saying, you know, brother so-and-so, you know what he's doing? Yeah, I said tell somebody, you know. I mean, don't tell anybody. Hey, if anybody ever says in church, hey, I want to tell you something, but don't tell anybody, come to me with it. Right there. Say, you know, don't tell pastor, don't tell anybody. Come to me right there. Say, no, here's what you do. Say, you know, hey, listen, before you tell me that, whatever you tell me, I'm going to tell the pastor. That'll just squash it. Well, I'm not going to tell you then. Thank you. Right? Remove the wood and the fire goes out. You know, I don't like this. Now, if you come talk to me, counsel about something about your own life, I'm going to... But don't, when people say, well, people are saying, pastor, oh, okay, well, who? Well, I just don't want to say. Then if you don't want to say, don't say what you said, they said. I don't want to say who said it, but I want to say what they said. No, come on. That's this list. Get rid of that stuff. If somebody says, don't tell anybody, don't listen to it. Because that's what this list is all about. And the problem is, we kind of enjoy a little tea. You know what I mean? We kind of enjoy a little bit, like, oh, and then what happened? No, I won't tell anybody. I mean, you get off the phone. Did you hear what happened? I mean, there's something, isn't that something? Why do we like that? It's our human nature, isn't it? I hate that I'm like that. Be quiet. I hate that I want to know that. You know, I have to fight that because I'll hear some conversation and I'll be like, you know what I mean? And you're like, I have to be like, you know what? I don't want to know. Because if I know, then I have to deal with it. I want to pull the wood off that thing and let it go. Listen, we're to put these things off so that we can have the unfeigned love. Primarily toward the believers, toward the brethren. But here's the thing, if I keep that at all, if we try to compartmentalize, well, I'm going to do that with these people, but not with our church folk. I wouldn't do that here. I just do that with people at work. Oh. Is that maybe like a hypocrite? So I'm going to be like this over here, but I'm going to be a double agent. At church, I'm going to be good and godly. And I wouldn't do that here. I now do it over there. Listen, if somebody tells you about somebody else, they're telling somebody else about you. Is that fair? Is that fair to believe that? I think that's probably true. No, I wouldn't talk about you like that. I just talked about my other best friend. Right? So, listen, to put these things off is so we can have that unfeigned love, as he talked about in chapter 1 and verse 22. But I want to talk about, number 2 is this. A new appetite. Verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Okay, with these things put off, we can have an appetite for the things of God. Hey, listen, if our mouth is full of guile, we're not going to have an appetite for the things of God. Because you know what the things of God tells us? Don't do that. I hate that. I hate when the stuff I like to do, God says don't do it, and you come across it when somebody's preaching. You ever done that where you feel like all the blood rushed to your face? And you're like, man, does he know? You know, the preacher know? And like, I know he doesn't know because I've never met this guy. I'm at like a meeting somewhere. And like, man, I hate that. I hate that for a minute, for a second, because I'm like, oh, man, he's dealing with my stuff. You know, let's preach on other people's stuff so I can amen it, right? And so we get that, and all of a sudden, listen, we can, when we have that stuff in our mouth and in our life, we don't have an appetite for the things of God because it's contrary to us. And so we kind of have to battle that thing. And so, you know, you can almost, as a, I'm gonna tell myself, I'm gonna let y'all know, when I hit something, I see on faces sometimes, right? And I don't know what's going on. I don't. That's why none of y'all are my friends on Facebook. I don't want to know that stuff, folks. I can't. I'm going to be preaching every week on social issues. I can't do it. And so, but I'll just say something. All of a sudden, there's this, you know, the countenance changed a little bit. And you're like, oh, okay, let's park it there a little bit, you know. Not always. Some of y'all are really good at being a hypocrite. Right? By the way, sometimes I'm sitting out there too. You know, when I say you, we get this thing. But listen, we got to have this new appetite. There's a new appetite he's talking about here. Look at verse 3. He says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, here's the thing. When we are able to truly taste of the grace of God, something happens within us. I mean, I'm not talking about the grace of God that makes us sway. A little drum beat. We kind of just, man, that felt good. This is fun, right? Your blood kind of gets flowing a little bit and you walk out of church. Man, this is good. You're like, what did you learn about? It's fun, right? We do that. You know what I'm saying? We do that. We have that thing that it kind of just comes out. We get this little excited. And by the way, music is moving, but you know what I want music to move me by? The message. You sit here thinking about, I kissed his feet. And you're thinking about that story of her breaking that alabaster box. You know what I'm thinking about when I hear that song? The Word of God. And what she did, I'm thinking that she was there crying and wiping oil and hair in her feet. And you're thinking, man, this, and you know, the story of what that must have been like. And you know, listen, I want to be stirred by the message, not by the rhythm. And when we walk away with that kind of thing, there's something. But I'm telling you, when we truly taste of the grace of God, something happens within us. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There becomes a hunger for more of that. I'm saying it gets exciting. You, wow, God's good. You say, Pastor, why you spend a week? You know, we didn't get to bed till after 11 o'clock. Sometimes the lights didn't get quiet till after midnight. Got up. I was up at 6:30 in the morning. And I moved more in 1 week than I've moved probably the last 3 years. Anyway, how do you have that energy this morning? I don't know, but it's just something when you... I can't tell you how many messages there were. They're preaching like 4 times a day. Devotion, 5. And then the preacher will throw in an extra message, 6. I mean, it's just going. And by the you're like, man, aren't you tired of preaching by then? No, actually, it kind of just makes me a little more hungry for some more. Because you know what, after that, then I was at night studying some scriptures as well. Don't you get tired of that? I don't know. Do you get tired of Hershey's chocolate? I mean, I realize I should limit myself with like chocolate cake. I could live off a chocolate cake diet if it was healthy. But it's not. I used to eat a Texas slab of cake. You're like, could you eat all that? Uh-huh. I can eat a whole bowl of ice cream. I love ice cream. I just, you know, you're like, how long could you do that? Well, I don't know. I need a little bit breaks between. But I don't, you know why I like it? Because I like it. You know why I want more? Because it's good. And, well, there's sugar and it hits some of those those receptors that say you need more. You know, there's that too. I say something happens with the Word of God when we taste of the grace of God, that it becomes exciting to us and that we want more of it. And there becomes a new appetite for it. And that appetite comes with the desire. Look again in verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Listen, the picture is of a newborn baby. Okay? A newborn baby. You've heard these newborn babies have that special sweet little cry. Like it's low volume. That's why it's sweet. It's not piercing. It's this little... A newborn baby aggressively covets milk. Because that's its only... It doesn't go, can I get a burger at McDonald's? That's it. Milk, that's the only thing. Not by choice. The baby doesn't say, you know what I think I want today? I think I want some milk. No, you know why a baby covets and desires milk? Because that's what it needs to stay alive instinctively. Right? Instinctively, a baby says, I need milk and desires it pretty strongly. Mothers, you have a baby and it comes like gets near mom and smells mom. It's like, now I need, get me mom because I need food. You know what I'm saying? This is this kind of thing. And there's something, a baby, a newborn baby particularly, man, it's something else. Now, when we have laid aside all that distracts us, we're clear to receive that which feeds the soul. You see, when I can put off those garments of all of that stuff that actually causes grief, when I could put that on, now I could put something else on. You see, why don't you put two jackets on? I was thinking about trying to do that today, just to peel off each one. I thought, man, I'm going to be able to, you know. It's kind of weird to have two jackets on together. Right? It doesn't fit well. It's like trying to wear two hats. You just look, it doesn't fit. You say, so, it's, and I know that's kind of just an illustration, but the thing is, it's this. When I got this other stuff there, there's no place to get fed. But when I take it off, I can now have some place to feed, to receive that which feeds the soul. Maybe the reason many are not hungry for the spiritual food is because they've not laid aside those things that are in the way. You see, it's hard to go back to read my Bible. Is it hard to eat food every day? You ever say, you know, I just realized I went 4 days without eating. You ever done that? Not lately, you know. You know why? Because there's something in us. Our body is now craving food because we need it. But, you know, there's some things you can do and the things that kind of curb the appetite. And so the medication, everything curb the appetite. And you can go without eating. And you forget that you're hungry because there's things that are actually designed to distract you from hunger. Right? So spiritually speaking, there's these things that get us, they distract us from being hungry. We got to have it. Listen, we're so full of garbage that there's no room for the spiritual. We want to fill our bodies with sugar instead of broccoli. Well, other things, you know, whatever you like. So, everyone does not have that appetite for Christ because they've never tasted of His grace. They rejected Him. Look at verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Listen, some have never tasted, they rejected Him, but Jesus Christ is God's chosen vessel. He's even, what the Scriptures tell us in several places, we're going to find this here, He is the cornerstone of the church. Look now in verse 5. Ye also, look what He's talking about to them. Ye also, all y'all, when you say ye, it means in our vernacular, y'all. Well, in my vernacular, y'all. Okay, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Believers are the living stones that build up this spiritual house, which is the church. He's the cornerstone. And we are the living stones that now build up the spiritual house He's talking about. And so listen, here's the thing. He is our hope and our faith. He says in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. So the third thing this morning, a new life. There's a new life. And he's what Peter's trying to help them understand, help them at that time, and the Lord's trying to give it to us today, to help them understand, we are not like we used to be. We're different. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Listen, believing on Him drives us to Him because He becomes precious to us. But for those that have rejected Him, He's an offense. He's offensive. So we now stand on two separate sides of the equation. It's Christ Some have believed and some have rejected, and we're on the other side. Those that have believed and those that have rejected, they've been those that have rejected have, the Bible says they've been disobedient to the gospel. So by the way, everyone hasn't rejected. Some people haven't heard. Right? Some people just haven't heard. They've not said no to the Lord. They've not said no to salvation. They just don't understand. They've not rejected yet, but there's maybe some that are kind of outside of the equation, and so those that are over here, you know what we're going to do? Get to them so they can make a choice to find Him. So listen, we who have believed could not be any more different than them. You find that equal sign with a through it. Unequal. Look at verse 9. He says it here. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we've been made. So back there he said, back there in verse 5, he said, you're an holy priesthood. But here now he says, you're a royal. I mean, it says there that we're now in this royal priesthood. The royal order. Not priests of the family of Aaron, like in the nation of Israel, but from the royal family of God. We've been adopted as sons, and now we are a royal priesthood. We're not like them at all. We're not like the rejectors. We're now a peculiar people. Peculiar means strange. No, it really means, it means different. Obviously different. And we have one job, one purpose, one reason to remain as sojourners in this world. One reason, one purpose, one. Look at, again, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Semicolon. That, right? For the purpose that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The role of this new life is to show the praiseworthiness of Him. The one who's called us out of darkness into light. See, I'm about done here. This could be a bit strange. This whole passage, it's kind of weird. You know, when we're going expositorily and you go verse by verse and we're not pulling, sometimes you're like, how does all this go together? Right? How does all this go together? Loving the brethren, putting off treating others in a fake way. What does all this have to do with showing praise? You see, it kind of gets a little weird sometimes. You're like, the Bible can be a little challenging. Amen? You ever read that and you're like, I don't know what that meant at all. I still do that. And so you know what I have to do? I just say, you know what? I don't understand. I'm going to close it and walk away. I'll come back, open up a different place and never do. No. You know what we do? Study to show thyself approved unto God. What's study mean? Study's a weird word too, isn't it? Study. I'm studying. What does study mean? Well, it means I'm reading and I'm looking in the dictionary and I'm trying to understand something. You know what I'm doing? Sometimes I'm comparing Scripture with Scripture. Turn with me last time over to John chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 13. I want us to help us to see that we can put this together. You know, the more we learn about God, the more we can understand about God. You know that? The more we learn about Him, the more we can understand what He's saying. Because from Genesis to Revelation, this is the whole picture of God. And if we just have one piece, we're going to be quite ignorant. Look at John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, Jesus is speaking here to up there in verse 33. It says, little children. You know, He's talking about to the believers. He says this in verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this shall all men know not just believers, but all men know that ye are my disciples. If, let me just repeat it, just in case you missed it, if ye have love one to another. Here's our conclusion. Here's our conclusion this morning. First thing, let's work this backwards, okay? We are now called, chosen to show to the world around us His praises. That's what He says. We're to show to the our primary purpose is to demonstrate what He's done in me. No. Not just to tell about the gospel, yes, that. But what He's done in me, we are to show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into light. That's what God wants. That's why He wants me to sojourn. That's why I don't get to just go right to heaven. Saved, boom. Like, don't get saved yet. Tell my wife, don't get saved yet. Let's, you know, wait till later. Let's don't get the kids saved yet, because as soon as I get saved, they're going to go right to heaven. Nobody wants to get saved, right? We want to save people from getting saved. No. He wants us to sojourn here so that we can show what God has done in us. How He's changed us and set us apart and as a peculiar people. Why do you do what you do? Let me tell you. Because of Him. And we explained something. Let me ask you a question. Here's our first question for you to think about this morning. Are you doing that? Are you showing, not just by speaking, yes, that too, but is your life peculiar enough that the world would see something in you that shows forth His praise? Second thing, we're to have a new appetite, one that desires to grow close to Him. Do you desire, I mean desire, like you would a Hershey chocolate bar? Think about it, like that fish dip. No, you'll know. After y'all go try it, y'all know. Desire means you think. Do you desire the Word of God like a newborn baby desires milk? I mean, not just to be here in church, in the midst of it, but desiring to get something from it. Some nutrition. I mean, if you desire something, you're tuned in to receive something. Hey, we're serving supper. You're like, yeah, not really. I'll come, sit at the table. I'll get a glass of water. I just want to be there. No, I'm saying when you desire something, there's a hunger for it. You're here, tuned in, ready to get some. Third thing. If not, it may be that you haven't put off the old nature in how you treat people, how you think about people, how you talk about people. All. Wow. One of the first things we see here that indicate this is how we treat one another. The Lord said, all men will know you, the children of God, by loving one another like Jesus Christ Himself loves us. Which brings us back to full circle of showing His praises. So, do not talk about how much you love Jesus while with that same mouth speaking guile of others. So, with the same mouth, there's blessings and cursings. Something's wrong there, folks. The Lord knew that one of our greatest... Listen, folks, maybe right now you're kind of getting a little flushed. You're thinking about who you've talked about this past week or this morning. The Lord knew that one of our greatest challenges in this world would be to imitate Him in loving others. That's a challenge for us. Amen? No. We got to admit that. We got to understand that. This is a challenge. But here's the thing. We are the ones, Heritage Baptist Church, we're the ones that are in this thing together. We're the peculiar ones. I don't want to be that peculiar. Well, then, that's what He wants you to be. I didn't say be weird. Don't be weird just for the sake of being weird. I just want to be different. No. Be peculiar is be set apart for the Lord. You can be set apart for the Lord and still be cool like me. Right? You're like, that's the best we can get to? Sorry. Okay. If we cannot love each other like Christ does, we will absolutely not reach the world. If we can't even love each other, the brethren, like Christ loves the brethren, don't think we're going to be very successful in reaching those without Christ at all. So here's the last thing. Are you loving the brethren? Maybe you say, well, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. You need to check yourself, because ain't none of us good at that. I might be better than I used to be at it, and I think I am, because I used to be real bad, and now I'm just a little less than that, a little bit more better than that, right? This, you know why it's in the Word of God? Because they were terrible people and we're great people? No, because we all struggle with that thing. And He's given us this, not to tell us how terrible we are, but to bring us to our attention. If we're going to, folks, I want to say this here, and we're going to close, have an invitation. We're going to go home, get some lunch. I want to say this here. I think we got a church that loves each other. I think we got a church that loves each other. It's a loving church. This isn't about I'm scolding you because we're in the Word of God. By the way, Peter was writing this to some folks that were living for Jesus Christ. But it's not good enough to just get there and say, I'm good here. This is where I'm gonna aspire to this. No, folks. God wants you to get closer and closer and closer to Him. And if we'll do that, we're going to find that God will use us in a way that is beyond anything that we can even ask or think. And I'm telling you, folks, if you've tasted of the grace of God, you're going to want some more of it. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that You'd help us this morning. Lord, You're so good to us. Lord, You've loved us. You love us with an unmatchable love. And yet, Lord, You've asked us to love each other in that way. And Lord, this is nigh unto impossible for us. And yet, You've told us to do it. And so, Lord, You've given us the instruction here this morning on how to do it. Put some things off in our life. Maybe this morning there's going to be some here that need to really just admit that I'm not as good at this as I'd like to pretend. Maybe some this morning would say, Lord, I've really just become a pretty good hypocrite. But Lord, I want to put that off. And I want to love like You love, especially here of the household of faith, that we might have a way to show Your praises among the world. Lord, pray that You do a work in the hearts of Your people. Thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Listen, maybe God has spoken to your heart this morning. Now's the time to come. I'm going to invite you to the altar to say, God, Lord, would You help me? Would You help me with this area of my life? I need You to do what I can't do on my own. Maybe this morning you're saying, I don't hunger. I don't desire His Word really quite like I should. I feel like I'm okay with these areas, but I'm not. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe just say this morning, Lord, I want to hunger for You. Like a newborn baby just desires that milk. Have Thine own way. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today.
whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, you've been so good to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to desire more of that. Lord, that I might see those areas in my life where I come short of the glory of God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now your people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be really less like us and more like you. Lord, you desire to use us in really a magnificent way. And yet, Lord, we have to make some choices of what we're going to put off. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, would you lead, guide, and direct, and we'll give you the thanks, the praise, and the glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.